you to be saved or try to twist your arm. That's not my job at all. I don't even want to. I just want to tell you there's some options out there for you. And I'll tell you this, the best thing I ever done is when I decided to ask the Lord to save me. Best thing I ever done. I'm glad we can know we are saved. There's all kinds of believers out there. There's those that's saved, and then there's those that's saved and not living right. There's those that's saved, and they're not sure if they are saved. Jennifer, you made reference to that. Not even sure. There's those that's saved and know they're saved. My assurance is just about as good as salvation. It's just about like getting saved again when I realized I was saved. Brother Dre, when I realized I was saved, sealed, I was just about as good as getting it again. I wrestled 3 or 4 years wondering if I was saved. After I was saved, well, you say somebody big as God move in, you can't tell it. Well, I wrestled around. I wrestled around with it. Say whatever you want to say. But I'm just gonna give you a few little scriptures. I'm fearful if you're here and lost. I'm fearful for you. By the way, you can know if you are saved. Let me just read you a few verses. And I don't know. We'll just let the Holy Ghost lead us. I was gonna preach out James this morning, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. Let me see if I can find the verse. First John chapter 5, verse 13. Most of you know this verse. You can just, I don't know if you want to follow me in the Bible. I'm in 1 John. It's over towards the end of the Bible. Verse number 13, it says this: "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." You can know if you say. The devil doesn't want you to have the assurance of your salvation, because then you're defeated, you see. Every time you start to do something for the Lord, he'll tell you not saved. And then anxiety will swell up in you. You start thinking about spending eternity in hell and lake of fire. It just consumes you. It just brings such great anxiety in your life. And so if he can't get your soul, if you are saved, and he can't get your soul, he'll try to steal your peace. And he'll try to rob you. But can I say this? We live in a day that there's many that's not saved that think they are saved. My, that's a tragedy just as well. I mean, they think everything's all right. One day they're going to lay down and die thinking everything's all right. And they're going to wake up in hell. I can't imagine the surprise, that's not the right word, the disappointment, the shock, I guess that would be the right word, the shock that they're going to experience. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 13, just let me read to you. You may not need to turn. It says this: "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many is on a broad way leading to destruction. Now that's the road to hell. And then it says in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Just a few there be that find it. Now that's few in relation to 7 billion people on planet Earth. But just a few is on the right road. And so I know this, there's not many saved. But we go up and down these roads from time to time and knock on doors. And you know what everybody says? "I'm saved. I'm ready." You don't need to talk to me. I'm ready to go. But the Bible says there's just few. Just few that's saved. And what that tells me is that somebody's confused. Somebody doesn't understand. Somebody's been deceived into thinking something that's not so. Can I just say this to you? Salvation is a life-changing experience. It's a life-changing experience. If you can get saved and live the same old life year after year after year after year, something, you've been slipped a counterfeit. Something's not right. Life, true salvation is life-changing. Now, those of you that's truly saved, you know what I'm saying is right. And we know the way is broad, and many's going down that broad way. You may be on the broad way. You may be this morning. And I'm telling you, I don't try to threaten you all. I don't try to just every week trying to twist somebody to be saved. Or I just don't do it. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. If I get you saved, what good's that? I can't even save myself. I can't even save me. But I know one who can save you. My 2 Timothy says this. This is why I'd hate to be a sinner today. 2 Timothy says this. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you know what people's being told? Everything in the world about how to get to heaven. Why you let somebody pray for you and he'll pray you in. You pay this much money, you pay this penance or whatever, I've forgotten the word they use, and you'll be all right. Can I tell you? That's deception. That's deception. That's not right. That's not how it is. Some say this, you just work your way in, and your good works outweigh your bad. The only thing about that, everybody in this room, your bad works will far outweigh your good works. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven. Fact of the matter, you don't know it, but God demands perfection. You say, do you live perfect? No. But that born-again man does. That's right. And I don't want to confuse you, get you sideways. I just want to say, we live in a day of deception and confusion. How do you know what's right? That's what I used to ask myself. The devil would come to me sometimes and say, why, what you've been taught's not right. And I wasn't smart enough to know if the Bible says it, it's right. And if the Bible, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's wrong. And I'm thinking, well, what if I am wrong? Well, one day I got a hold of the fact that this is God's Word. And God cannot lie. And I started thinking like this Bible thinks. And I know this, my thinking's right. And can I just say to you today, I know I'm saved. I have assurance I'm saved. Why? Because I have a Bible that tells me how to be saved. And I did what I was supposed to do. And He said if I would, He'd save me. And I did, and He did, and I've been saved over 50 years now. Well, hallelujah for that. And so, sinner, if you're here, you're on dangerous grounds. And that's from our least little children. Ben, how old were you when you got saved? Here's a fella. You met a man 10 years ago. You're 14 now. You got saved 4 years old. You believe God can speak to a 4-year-old? Right there's one He spoke to. Still in the race. Still bragging on Jesus. Hey, God can speak to the youngest, to the oldest. He has that ability to communicate to you. My, what a blessing that is. And so, I'm just going to share just a few little things with you. Sinner, there's only two ways. There's two roads you're traveling. You're either traveling the road towards heaven, or you're on the road towards hell. No other road. No other eternal destination will you find in the Word of God. Only one of two places. Everybody in this room is traveling down one of two roads. They're traveling down the road of destruction. It's a broad road. Many, you've got a lot of company if you're going down that road. But there's a narrow road that leads unto life. And there's just a few there. That's the only two roads. No other road. Well, preacher, what Tell me about it. How is it I get on that road? How is it? Well, let me just say this. Salvation is of the Lord. I can't save you. The Richview Baptist Church can't save you. Coming to church can't save you. Water baptism won't save you. The priest won't save you. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. That's the only way. I understand there's a lot of so-called religious folks saying there's all kinds of ways you can get to heaven. Here's why I know that's wrong. It doesn't line up with the Bible. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way. The way. Not a way, not one of many ways. But I am the way. If you ever get to heaven, it'll be because of Jesus and Him alone. If you don't go the Jesus route, you will not be saved. It's that simple. Well, I'm just going to try to just give you a few little truths. Here's how it has to start. We call it conviction. I've heard it called other things. I can't think what I've heard it called. But I call it this, Holy Ghost conviction. The Holy Spirit of God has to deal with your heart. Preacher, can I get saved anytime I want to? No, you can't do it. God has to be in the arrangements. That's right. God has to be dealing with your heart. Now you say, how do I know He's dealing with my heart? Well, I don't know that I can answer that exactly right, but I believe God's big enough, if He's dealing with your heart, He can make you realize that. I tell you what it was for me, I was troubled. It troubled me. Let me read the verse to you. It's in John chapter 6 and verse 44, and if you want to turn, you can, but you don't have to. I'll probably have it read before you get there. But John chapter 6 and verse 44 says this, no man, this is Jesus talking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, if you've never felt Holy Ghost conviction, you've never been drawn, you've never wanted something better, you've never desired, you're never sick of who you are. You've never been to that place that it was just like a weight resting upon you. Brother Ronnie says this about his salvation. He said, when I got saved, I didn't know anything, but I know the load lifted. The burden, you might use the word burden, the burden lifted. He was heavy about who he was. He was heavy about where he was going to spend eternity, you see. And so you cannot come to God until He's dealing with your heart. And here's how it was with me. Here's how He dealt with my heart. I'd be laying in bed at night. We had a window fan. And it would be real hot in our house till that night air fell, and the window fan would draft that night air through the house, and I'd start settling down. And when I would start relaxing, and I'd just be thinking, my mind would just be thinking, just me and God. And I'd just be laying there, and the Holy Spirit of God, not some kind of weird voice out of the heavenly spoke to me, but a still small voice on the inside would say to me, if you die, you're going to hell. If you die, you're going to hell. It made me fearful. It made me fearful. And I would just try to put it out of my mind, but just keep ringing in my ear, you need to be saved. Now, I wasn't hunting that. I wasn't searching that out. I wasn't trying to find it. Here's the thing about it, sinner. One day God will come to you and start dealing with your heart. Here's what parents say to me sometimes. How will I know when it's time to be saved? And I tell them what was told me and what was told my parents, and it doesn't make sense if you don't till you experience it. But here's what they told me. I'd say, when do you know you need to be saved? And here's what they'd say, you'll just know. You'll just know. Brother Allen, that didn't strike me too well at the time. But you know, when I need to get saved, guess what? I just knew I need to be saved. I just knew it. Now, it may not be for everybody. I'm just telling you my experience. I'm not preaching the Word of God. I'm just telling you my experience. Your experience may be a little different. I knew I needed to be saved, and it scared me because I knew this. If I died and I woke up in hell, I knew if I died, I'd wake up in hell. And I knew if I woke up in hell, I'd never get out. Sinner, if you wait too long and you go to hell, you'll never get out. You'll be there for eternity. You'll get out to stand at the great white throne judgment. I can't imagine what you'll look like after burning for however many years it'll be. I can't imagine what you'll look like as a being. But you'll get out for a little while. Maybe you'll think that's it. Maybe you'll feel like at the great white throne judgment, man, maybe God will show mercy. My, I'll tell you what will happen. He'll eventually just cast you in a lake of fire. There you'll be throughout all eternity. Well, I knew I was going to hell. That was the Holy Ghost drawing me. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew I needed to be saved from hell. Sinner, do you know you need to be saved from hell? Has God been dealing with your heart some way? We call that Holy Ghost conviction. You can't come to Jesus except the Father, which it sent Him, draw you. We call that Holy Ghost conviction. And then there has to be this thing of repentance. And I've took a lot of abuse for repentance. But that's simply a change of mind. Here's how I was before conviction come my way. I didn't want God. I didn't care about God. I didn't need God in my life. I didn't have time for God in my life. I enjoyed my life just like it was. I didn't want it. I didn't want nothing changed. I enjoyed sin. I'd commit a sin. I couldn't wait till I had an opportunity to sin again. I wanted to sin again. I liked sinning. I liked being a sinner. I didn't have a need of God. But can I tell you, there come a day when Holy Ghost conviction comes, and He convicted, just like being in a courtroom, that judge slams that gavel down and says, "You're guilty." That's what Holy Ghost conviction is. That's what it did to me. And when Holy Ghost conviction comes, He granted me repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. I can show that to you three or four verses in the New Testament proving that truth. It's a gift of God. And He changed my attitude about who I was. I did not like myself anymore. In fact, I hated myself. I hated my lifestyle. I hated everything about me. I'll never forget, I had an uncle. He lived in Crossville and we lived in Harriman. And he come up, and I'll never forget what he said one time. Just about the time God was dealing with me, he said, "Kelly," that was my dad's name. He said, "Kelly, you've got some fine boys there." There we stood. Here's what I knew. In my heart, Dre, here's what crossed my mind. He really don't have fine boys. I'm no good. You know what that was? That was repentance that God granted me. He let me see me for who I really was. There's none good. The Bible, you say, "Oh, there's some good people." Not according to the Bible. The Bible says in Romans 3 that there's none good. No, not one. There's none good. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Sinner, you'll not get in on your goodness. You're not good enough to go to heaven. Nobody in this room will go to heaven based on their goodness. They're not good enough. You see repentance when you change your mind. And then when I used to not have a need of God, didn't want God, didn't want Him messing with my life. But can I tell you, there come a time I wanted God to help me. I needed God. I realized the only way I was going to escape hell was God. My, there comes that thing of repentance. That comes that, and I could mention lordship. You're going to have to accept Him as your Lord. You can't say this, well, I'm going to drink my alcohol, live my life, chase my women, do my cussing, steal all I want to. And you can't have that mindset, but sign me up. I don't want to go to hell. There's no submission to Him and to His Lordship. Hey, He's your Savior, but He's your Lord as well. I've not spent a lot of time teaching that doctrine here, but it's just as real the Word of God as I'm standing here. But then there has to be faith. There has to be faith. You have to believe what Jesus did. Sinner, do you know what Jesus did for you? You've heard it. You've heard it. Sister Jennifer said it. And maybe some of the others said it. Maybe Sister April said it. He died on the cross for your sins. You see, Jesus loves sinners. Here's what we think. Jesus loves righteous people. Well, I guess He does. But here's the thing. Here's the misthought or the wrong thought we have. Jesus loves sinners. That's why He came. He came to seek and to save sinners. Not just to save them, but to seek them. That may be what He's doing this morning. He may be seeking sinners. It may be one of you children. It may be some adults been in this church for 30 years and you realize all of a sudden, I've been deceived. It may be, I don't know. I'm not trying to cast doubt. But you're going to have to evaluate your salvation and if you're ever going to get assurance. You're going to have to deal with that thing somewhere in your life. It may be. It may be right here today that there is a sinner that needs to be saved. Jesus may be seeking you out. May be seeking you this morning. It may be the Holy Ghost of God has said you're a sinner. It may be. I know my words don't mean anything. I could talk to you guys blue in the face and it wouldn't make one bit of difference. But when the Holy Ghost begins to deal with you, it'll be a different story. Is He seeking you out this morning? He wants to save you. Well, how does He save you? How does He? I'd really like to go and just preach John 3. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm just going to give you the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus was the God-man. Let me back up just a little farther. Why did Jesus even come? I told you to seek and to save sinners. How does He save sinners? He paid your sin debt. You can't pay your sin debt. Think about it, sinner. Here's what sinners think. I did one bad, I'll do a good, and that'll offset it, and we'll be even. That's how I used to think. But let me ask you this. If a murderer, he's just killed a person, he's robbed a bank, he's killed a bank man, and he goes down the road and there's two little kids out there and they're drowning. And he goes out there and he rescues them two little children, drags them back, and they say, he's a hero. Let me ask you, is he still guilty of murder? You know he is. Those two lives he saved doesn't offset that life he took. He's a murderer, don't you say? And your good deeds can't offset your bad. God cannot, a just God cannot overlook your evil deeds. He cannot do that. He come to seek and to save. He may be speaking to you this morning. Is He sinner? Is He speaking to your heart? My, I don't know, every song seemed like dealt with salvation. Every testimony. You say, preacher, you're putting pressure on me. I'm not trying to. If I pressure you, it'll do no good. But if the Holy Ghost pressures you, it'll do a lot of good. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save. How did He save me? He took your sins upon Himself. And He went to Calvary. We call it Calvary. That's the place where He hung on the cross. And He suffered the punishment for your sins, sinner. He suffered your punishment. He took your whipping on Calvary. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. He'd die for rotten, no good sinners, suffer their punishment. But He did. He did mine. He did you. He is your substitute. I've got scripture for all this. I probably ought to give it to you. That's where the power is. But I just want to talk to you. I just want you to get the concept this morning. And so here he is. He went to the cross. He's hanging between heaven and earth. He's being crucified for what sin? None. None of his sin. Because he lived righteous. He never committed one sin. He wouldn't have been God if he had. God cannot sin. He just can't sin. It cannot happen. But he took your sin upon himself. Sinner, if you're here, every sin you've ever committed, our precious Savior hung on Calvary 2,000 years ago. He took your sins upon himself and he died in your place. And he took your suffering. He paid the penalty that you should pay. The sin debt has been paid in full. That's where it's at. It's been paid. Hey, you say, well, if the sin debt's been paid, you have to get forgiveness. You have to ask him to save you. You have to ask him if you can have a part of what he's provided, don't you see? And so we come. You have to believe. I don't want to get away from faith. I've talked about conviction, and I've talked about repentance, and I've touched on lordship. But here's where I'm saying you're going to have faith in what Jesus did. Sinner, do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The Bible says this in Ephesians. I know this is familiar to many of you, but just let me read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Grace is undeserved favor from God. It's not works. It's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't save yourself, it's the gift of God, you see. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know how to make it any plainer. Here's what happened. Jesus died for your sins, suffered, gave his life for your sins, shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He shed his blood, gave his life. They buried him. And on the third day, can I tell you what happened on the third day? The grave could not hold him. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered the Roman army. They had the best of the best guarding the tomb. He conquered that. He conquered whatever else, anything else. So they could have built a hundred story skyscraper over that tomb. He had to come out on the third day. You know why? He said he would. And he did just what he said. And today, he's seated. He's ascended to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he'll save you if you'll place faith in what he did. Sinner, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins, took your place, paid the sin debt? He's the Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. That's what the Bible says. He can save you. Save you from what? The penalty of your sins. What's the penalty of your sins? It's the second death. It's hell. It's eternity in a lake of fire. If you do not get saved, sinner, eternity, all of eternity, you're going to experience in the lake of fire. That's the penalty for sin. That's called the second death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible teaches. And so, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But you don't have to. If God's dealing with your heart, and He's granted you repentance, and you see a need to be saved, and you will call on the Father and with a sincere heart. And it's really not what you say. Here's what people say. I wonder if I said the right thing. It's not based on what you say. It's what your heart says. If that was the case, people who couldn't speak could never be saved because they couldn't verbalize the words. It's what the heart says. God knows your heart. He knows your heart this morning. You may say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot, don't know much. Well, you don't have to know anything, but you're a sinner and he's a Savior. That's right. Now, I mentioned all these things, and I could mention substitution. I could mention imputed righteousness. I can mention a lot of big words. But really, if God's dealing with your heart and you realize you're a sinner and you realize He's the Savior and you know what He did for you, He can save you today. Somebody said this in their testimony. You can leave here on your way to heaven. It's that simple. Now, I don't know. This wasn't what I had in my mind to talk to you or preach to you about today. I know this really ain't preaching, but it's what I think God wants. This is what I think God wanted for this day. I was going to preach to you on James 3. That's where I was headed. I've got the message right there if you want to see it. I'm not playing with you. I believe God's dealing with somebody. There's too many songs, too many testimonies. The power of God was real in our midst this morning. I wonder if He's dealing with your heart. And then I wonder this, would you be honest enough to admit it? You see, well, there's a lot of people that are in hell because their pride wouldn't let them admit God was dealing with them. They was ashamed of what people, they thought, what might people think about it? I wonder what people would think. And that kept them out. That's what the devil told me the night I got saved. He said, if you go up there, I was a young person. We had two rows. Our young people sat on this side of the church, the last two rows. We had two full rows of young people. I didn't sit with them. I was kind of just an odd kid, and I didn't fit in too well. And I was sitting over here on this side. And here's what the devil said. If you go up there, they'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. You better not go up there. They'll make fun of you. You see, he was trying to get me to put it off. He knew if I put it off long enough, I'd miss out. He knew that. Do you need to be saved today? I don't care. The devil will lie to you. He'll lie to you. Here's what he told me. Just wait till it's not so crowded. Wait till there's just a whole lot fewer people here. That's what he said to me. He was wanting me to put it off. God was saying, you need to be saved. There was a warfare going on in my heart. I don't know if that's how everybody gets saved. That's how I got saved. There was a battle going on. God was telling me, you need to be saved. Right now, you need to be saved. The devil's saying, don't do it. Put it off. Wait. They'll make fun of you. But let me just jump ahead on my story a little bit. Can I tell you, I went and I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know anything. Except I was a sinner and He's a Savior. And here's all I said. This seems so ridiculous, so insufficient. I said, God saved me. God saved me. I said it twice. I do remember that. I don't know if I said it loud enough anybody could hear me. But can I tell you, there was a God in heaven. Milky Ways, galaxies, solar systems, whatever you want to say, away. And through the Holy Spirit, He heard my cry. He heard my feeble cry. And He saved my unworthy soul. He'll save you today. Say, I don't know how to pray. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you believe? Do you have enough faith to believe He's the Savior? That He died on the cross for your sins? Would you like to be saved? My, if you would like to be saved, the Lord would like to save you more than you'd like to be saved today. Here's what I'm trying to say. You can be saved. He will save you. If you have a desire in your heart to be saved, good chance God's dealing with you this morning. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. He's a risen Lord. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you'll call out on Him, He'll save you this morning. While she plays softly, I'm not coming to you. I'm not twisting your arm. I'm not begging. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm simply telling you what's available if you need it this morning. He'll change your life. He'll give you the greatest life there is to live on planet Earth. There's nothing like living for the Lord. Nothing like being saved. Nothing like being a child of God. He'll birth you in His family this morning if you'd like to. I'm going to get real quiet here for a minute. Just you and God. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Would you be willing to come? Are you too proud? Are you too haughty? Are you too fearful of what people what you think people might think. Nobody laughed at me. Nobody will laugh at you. We'll rejoice that we have a new family member in her family. How about it? I've just tried to talk to you, make it as simple, as understandable as I can possibly do. If you leave here this morning, God's dealing with you. And for some reason, death finds you. You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Would you like to be saved this morning? That's my question. But now, it's your turn. I give you what's on my heart. It's your turn. Now you have to answer. Would you like to be saved? What is your answer this morning? One more verse, Sister Grace, if you would. Dear sinner, if you're here this morning, here's our last verse. Would you consider yielding to the Spirit of God and submitting to Him this morning?